excited.
It's federal election time, and your vote matters. You're listening to Meet the Candidate on The Lauren Brooker Show on CJBQ.
We have endeavored to get all the candidates on the air, and we have for this election the candidates from Bay of Quinte and Hastings, Lennox, Addington, and Tyendinnega. And today, our candidate represents the Green Party for Halat. That's the riding of Hastings, Lennox, Addington, and Tyendinnega. And we say hello to Mike Holbrook. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Lauren.
It's a pleasure to have you back in studio. You were just here because you ran for the Green Party in the recent provincial election. And you were talking about, the possibility that you might run federally. And here you are.
Here I am.
Here you are. But it's a different thing altogether.
It's some things are similar, but of course provincial and federal responsibilities are different, and if anything, the crisis from the south has become even more
right
important.
Right, and that and this is a question I've asked all the candidates who have come in today, this past, I guess, 30 days or whatever we're into right now.
Yeah, I'm into more than that.
Is this the primary question in the election? So when people go to the voter's booth, are they asking themselves, who's going to be the best for healthcare and for the military and for all the things that we're going to talk about in the next hour? Or are they asking themselves, who's going to be able to deal with the menace from the south?
I think that the who's going to deal with Trump issue has unfortunately become probably the most decisive question on people's minds. I think that's a real mistake, but that is the reality, and it was for both elections, I think.
Well, and federal election time, this is a time for us to look at this country as a whole and try to think about those issues that are facing this country. Unfortunately, a few days before the election, of course, is on Monday, Trump spoke up again yesterday, talking about a potential raise in the tariff on automobiles, talking about the 51st state thing again. And that is, it was quiet for a while, and then it's come back to reap its ugly head. Mm-hmm. And again, that takes away from some of the issues that your party and all the other parties are trying to talk about as well.
Yeah, as I say, I think it's unfortunate. But the good thing about a crisis is that it sometimes gives us perspective, right? And I think that COVID-19 did similar things, in that you have this immediate event that kind of throws you off kilter, and you have to step back and think, okay, well, how are we in this situation? And in both those situations, what the crises showed was how vulnerable we are to these basically external threats.
Mm-hmm.
So in the case of Trump, I think it's showing up a problem that's been building over decades of us being over-reliant on the United States for the health of our economy.
Let's talk about you.
Sure.
So Mike Holbrook is the candidate, Hastings, Lennox, Addington, Tyendinnega. Who is Mike Holbrook?
Well, in the last campaign and still now, and I'm wearing my traditional now, blue collared work shirt.
You're wearing a green and black Marmara dinner jacket. It's
exactly.
Beautiful.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've been criticized somewhat for this.
Why?
And well, I think because people feel that somehow it means that I'm not serious about
why. Chris Millette was here the other day wearing a red T-shirt and
I have dressed it up a little bit more sometimes, but I wear it for a purpose, and that is because I think the green movement is seen as being a little bit upscale, that it's kind of a luxury that people with a little more money can worry about, sort of environmental issues. And I think that's really nonsense. And I think there are lots of people in regular people who can see what's going on. And I'm one of them. I spent my life on construction sites. So
yeah, you're an actual man, unlike myself, barely a man. But you're kind of a big guy, and you live in the woods, right?
I try to. Yeah. Unfortunately, I had this crazy idea of doing politics, which is
right. But tell us who you are. Do you have a family? You mentioned you were construction. People want to know you a little bit personally.
Well, it's come out in the last little while. I've emphasized it more, and that is that I don't come from a blue-collar family. In fact, a lot of my family are involved in science, and I've always been very interested in it. I think it's colored my ability to evaluate things.
Right.
But I loved working with my hands, so I ended up, doing this kind of work, and I'm quite happy with it. Raised 5 children, now have 2 grandchildren as well.
Oh, well, congratulations.
And my children are all grown and out on their own, and that's one of the reasons that I can put a little bit of time into this thing that I think is so important.
So why the Green Party? You're obviously a smart guy. There's lots of parties out there. What is it about the Greens that attracted you?
I think the obvious thing is the focus on the environment. So that's been part of my life, my whole life, even before it became, super popular. I really think we have problems there. With the way our economy works, it causes one crisis after another. And so I've been voting Green for quite a while. But frankly, the way the Green Party has evolved, they also have, I think, the best solutions to the larger economic problems.
And well, let's talk about that.
Sure.
You just brought it up. So
absolutely.
Give us some solutions to some of the problems that are uniquely Green designed and how that would make Canada a better place.
Well, I think most of the economic problems that we talk about in the election are down to a single issue, and that is income inequality. So income inequality is at a record high in Canada, and it's becoming very difficult for average people just to have a basic living, raise a family, own a home, have some time to pursue their other interests. It's just becoming very difficult for average people to live. And it is not, as some people want to say, because we are broke or poor. That's just not true. And there, one party in particular really likes to push that idea. We have the lowest debt to GDP ratio in the G7. So of all these countries, of whom we are a little bit the junior partner, the little brother,
right?
In terms of economic size, we have the lowest debt. So the idea that we can't afford to take care of our regular people, I think is nonsense.
The thing is, for years we were touting how we've become a global economy, right? Which is true. We're all intertwined. Every TV that we have is produced in Korea or China or someplace like that. Cars are built all over the planet and are intertwined. It is an intertwined global world that we live in. And that really came to light in COVID, right? Because we had these massive supply issues with factory shutting down and so on and so forth. And that didn't carry on for a week or two. That carried on. And believe it or not, some companies are still saying that they're dealing with that situation. And now we have a human being down south who is dumped over the apple cart and is making it more chaotic. The interesting thing is, the interesting thing is that we in this country of ours have everything we need to, the most fresh water anywhere in the world, unbelievable amounts of fossil fuels, which the world still requires. We have the ability to produce giant amounts of hydroelectricity. We have state-of-the-art nuclear capabilities, which we're working on. And then the raw materials for batteries and things like that. This country, and then our ability to grow food, is second to none. So I've always said that we are in the way of each other. We're all trying to get rid of interprovincial trade barriers and things like that. But Canada is an amazing place. for what we need.
It really is. And I think if you take that debt question that I put out, and then you turn around and look at the actual resources that we have within the G7 on a per capita sense, surely we're the richest.
Oh, clearly. We have the biggest cupboard of it all. But so let me ask you this question. We rely on getting a lot of our products, and this is one of the issues, to the south, right? I think 70% of our fossil fuel products or fossil or petroleum goes to the south. What do the Greens think about creating, pipelines to each coast so we can get to sell this to other countries?
Well, the Green Party position is pretty dead set against it. My personal position is that I don't want to spend any public money to do it. So if industry really believes that it's the right thing to do and private capital wants to try to do it, I'm not completely, against it.
This country already owns a pipeline.
And I think they're just kind of throwing money away because, first of all, that process is going to be, the estimates are anywhere between 10 and 15 years mm-hmm. to be able to do that. So it's not going to solve the immediate Trump crisis. So really, does that make sense? If the business world feels that it still makes sense, well, then they're welcome to bang their heads against the wall, I guess, if you ask me. But I think there are much better solutions for us as a country.
Give me some examples.
Well, I think increasing our capacity in terms of solar and wind, for example, backed up by storage solutions is much quicker. And it's also very cheap in comparison. It's becoming cheaper all the time. So I think we have to, if we're going to put government money, and right now, depending how you measure it, anywhere up to $30 billion a year going into the fossil fuel industry as subsidy or tax breaks or, however you want to do the math, but it's a very significant amount of money. If we were to turn that money towards renewable sources, we could ramp that capacity up quite quickly. And the East-West infrastructure that really needs to be built for the future mm-hmm. is the electrical grid east to west. And that also is a long and big project. And that's, I think, where the money should go because it has a future.
It's 20 minutes after 10 o'clock. Our guest is Hastings, Lennox, Addington, and Tyonega Green candidate Mike Holbrook. Mike is in studio with us until 11 o'clock, and we would love to hear from you. It's always better for you to ask questions than me. You're smarter than I am. You have better ideas, for sure. And again, those phone lines open 613-969-1545, the number to call. We'll take our first break in the hour. We'll be back. It is Meet the Candidate on 800-CJBQ.
Make your house shine from top to bottom without lifting a finger. Call Quinty Power Wash. They expertly wash homes and commercial properties with high-pressure cleaning for surfaces like concrete and stone and low-pressure cleaning for things like vinyl, stucco, and wood. Quinty Power Wash even washes your trailer, boat dock, pool deck, fences, outdoor furniture, and more. Ask about their complete house washing package. For a free quote, visit QuintyPowerWash.com or call 613-919-4410.
800-CJBQ and Crozier Heating want you to beat the summer heat with the gift of central air conditioning. Listen anytime for your cue to call 613-969-1545. The first five callers instantly qualify to win an energy-efficient Amana central air conditioner, including installation, valued at $6,000. Log on to CJBQ.com for full contest details. It's a summer of cool from Crozier Heating, a breath of fresh air for over 25 years, and 800-CJBQ.
The following is a paid political announcement.
As I knock on doors all over this great region, I hear the same message. This is the election of a lifetime. I'm Chris Millette, and I'm running in the Bay of Quinte for Team Kearney, and I'm encouraging everyone to get out and vote. We have seen from the advance polls there is huge interest in this very important election. And if you're in any way challenged in getting to the polls, please reach out to my office if you need help getting to your polling station. Call us at 613-243-0617.
Vote Chris Millette, your federal Liberal candidate, on April 28th. Authorized by the official agent for Chris Millette.
Improve your hearing, improve your quality of life. visit Here Right Canada Trenton at the Bay of Quinte Home Show. Come say hello to mother-daughter team Maureen and Kayla, proud local owners of Here Right Canada. Maureen and Kayla will be offering complimentary hearing tests inside the Here Right Canada Quiet Room. Here Right Canada Trenton, quality hearing care for less. This Friday through Sunday at the Bay of Quinte Home Show in Trenton.
Introducing a smarter way to do laundry. Discover the latest Electrolux washers and dryers at Arnie's, featuring new clean and care technology to help your clothes and fabrics last longer. Get your Electrolux washer and dryer today at Arnie's Appliances, Tyendinaga.
Arnie's. Everything but the taxes.
Hi, this is Mary Thomas, inviting you to join me each Sunday for conversations with people around the Quinte area, across Canada, and maybe even around the world. We talk about things you're curious about, things that annoy you, and things that matter in your life. Join me for Newsmaker Sunday, each Sunday at the noon hour on 800-CJBQ.
It's federal election time, and your vote matters. You're listening to Meet the Candidate on The Lorne Brooker Show on 800-CJBQ.
Welcome back to the show. It is, as you just heard, Meet the Candidate. Mike Holbrook, he's the Green candidate for Hastings, Lennox, Addington, and Tyendinaga. He's a super passionate guy about our earth and our environment. As a matter of fact, climate was the topic of a all candidates meeting, and you were able to, get some of your opinions and some of the Greens' ideas out there to talk about the climate. You know, one thing I don't think people understand, and maybe they do, I don't know, but there's a big difference between the weather. That's what's happening today, and climate. Like, the climate of this planet, for whatever reason, and I think clearly we've had a say in it, is changing. Just a story out, I think like 80-something percent of the reefs have been bleached on planet Earth. That is a horrific idea, and the reason they're getting bleached is because the ocean water is warming up.
Yeah. I mean, the bleaching is a reaction that the corals have to high temperatures.
And that kills off the food, and the whole thing turns into it's a international, global maritime disaster.
Yeah.
It is.
I mean, it's an extreme survival mechanism that they have, where they pitch out the algae that are usually part of their system, and just try to stay alive during the heat event. So it happens from time to time, but it's happening a lot now. And that's really disturbing, because if it goes on for too long, then the coral actually dies.
It's unthinkable, really, what humans are. I always have this thing that if every human being on the planet died off tomorrow, the world would be just fine. It would just take itself over and do what it does.
I think we have to remember, when you talk about environmentalism, that and the Green Party, is that we are not here just because we love nature. If you were really completely in love with nature, then what you might want is just to have a lot less human beings, and then nature would be fine. But in fact, as in politics, what we're concerned about is human beings, and we want a good life for our population, for our fellow citizens, for our children, and on into the future. That's the goal.
So it's about balance.
It's about balance. It's absolutely about balance. And the issue of the climate is that it turns out that the balance is rather delicate in some ways. And we've had lots of, as I said, we've had lots of environmental crises over the years. Think of acid rain and the ozone hole and these things, which we found solutions to. And right now we've got a problem that is going to be really tough to solve. And it's incremental. It's kind of like the boiling frog thing in the pot. And it's getting a little bit worse all the time, and it's easy for us to kind of ignore and adapt.
So let me, this is a country of 36, 37, whatever. How many people here, Ted? Is it 40? Are we over the 40 mark? I think we are now. Million people, which is the population of California or the population of Tokyo.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the second largest landmass of a country, and in global statistics, our negative output, I think, is, minuscule compared to what China or India puts out or the United States. So how do we balance that? How does the Green Party balance that with the people, where we, Listen, I hope everybody wants to do what they can for the environment. I see tons of blue boxes out all the time.
Sure.
I think people do care, but they also want to live their life, right? And and we live in a smaller community. You live in the middle of the woods. So it's pretty hard for you to take a bus from your house to the store.
That's right.
Right? So in Toronto, I could take the subway and get to wherever I want, and life is different.
Yep.
So how do we balance all that? You know, in India, fumes are like they're not protecting their environment at all. Where here, I mean, we have standards, and the stuff that comes out of the ass end of our cars is way better than that 76 Dodge Dart that would have had to, you know.
It is, but it's still bad, and our emissions in Canada are still rising, whereas many other comparable countries have managed to decrease. One of the problems for us because of the fossil fuels is that not only are we emitting here, but we're exporting this product that emits. Our emissions our situation as far as emissions is the worst within that G7. And having just said that our financial position in many ways is the best within G7, what excuse do we have for not making any progress?
So what would the Greens like to see 10 years down the road?
I think you have to build out the alternatives. So it's not just a matter of trashing, you know, the polluting system that we have now and expecting average Canadians to bear the brunt of that. People will contribute if you give them the choice. So it's important how the message comes out. But we have to wean ourselves off of fossil fuels. And the only way to do that is to build out the alternative energy systems. And frankly, to be more careful with the way we spend energy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the automobile problem, we have automobile manufacturing problem that we have now. And people talk about, well, we're going to diversify, you know, where we ship to, not just to the States. Well, the cars that we make over here, nobody else wants other than us and the Americans. You know, you're not going to sell F-250s for people to commute with in France. It's not going to work.
No.
And it is kind of ridiculous. And so we can make adjustments. And what I keep saying is we have the wealth in this country to make those adjustments so that they do not hurt the average Canadian.
It is funny. I remember the story. I was sitting in a piazza in a small town in Italy, and this rumble was coming down the road, and it was a Dodge Charger, and it came into the piazza and left the piazza. You know, it was like a Hellcat. And I thought to myself, what the? This thing looks like an elephant running like into the piazza, because, you know, everybody's driving the little Fiats and so on and so forth. And I think in that way, you're right, but it's a, you know, we have all this space, and so these big cars have taken over. I think we all agree that we care. I don't know what the answer is, because you're not going to get people who are living in subdivisions or whoever to get rid of their natural gas unless it's the same price and they get the same service, right? Like, somebody's going to say, okay, I don't need air conditioning. They're not going to say it. Right. So
you have to build out the system, because
right.
because the solutions to that are, I mean, one of the major solutions that will help a great deal is to move to heat pumps, where essentially you're using electric power to,
yes.
you know, to.
But you're seeing a lot of that. I think most new builders put heat pumps in as opposed to
It's happening,
right.
and I think we need to accelerate it. And obviously, same as moving to electric vehicles where they're appropriate, you have to build out
to me,
the electric grid.
If somebody said to me, hey, Lauren, because my house is now 17 years old, my furnace is 17 years, if somebody came to me and said, hey, we'll change everything out with a high-quality heat pump, you won't know, I mean, it'll work really well, your house will be cold, it'll be warm when you need it, and it's going to be a good deal, I would think about it.
Of course you would. And any time we've brought these sort of relatively generous programs in, people buy in, you know, in droves.
Right. Because it's better for their home, better for the environment, which I don't think most people are thinking about. They're just thinking about future sales, better for their homes, maybe cheaper bills coming in. That's what the average person's actually thinking about. So in a way,
day-to-day they are, but I think we don't give people enough credit that they want a good environment, a livable planet for their grandchildren, great grandchildren, and so on. They really do. And if you do the polls almost across the world, it's almost always the same, and ask people whether they want their governments to deal with the global warming issue, the positive answer comes back somewhere between 80% and 90%.
It's a loaded question in a way. Of course, we want our government to make the world a better place.
So let's do it then.
Right.
and I think that income inequality piece is where the answer is, because it is true that as much as you want to contribute, if you're worried about where the next meal is coming from,
that's the last
you're
thing
not
on
going
your mind.
To.
Right.
So we have to solve that.
Angela, good morning. You're on CJBQ. Mike Holbrook is the guest. He's the Green Party candidate for a lot.
Hello. Thank you for running.
You're welcome.
anyway, I live in Prince Edward County, and we have a municipal council that still declares itself an unwilling host to wind turbines. We had a almost completely built wind farm that unfortunately was torn down. I mean, it was the Ford government that tore it down, but there were also some maybe 400 people in the county that didn't want it. But it's frustrating because they didn't want the wind turbines. They didn't want the battery storage facilities. And some people are still fighting solar. So how do you explain to them that the best thing for the planet is renewable energies?
Well, I think you have to keep the conversation going, and you know, the science is very strong, so you have to keep that moving. One of the things that we really fight against, or we're up against, is that in politics, one of the best ways to get elected is to get people angry.
Yeah.
And the what we call the right in politics, both in south of us and here, has struck on some of these issues, which are difficult for the average person to deal with today because it costs more to fill their car, and they've ramped up that anger and tried to blame it on a supposed sort of climate hoax. It really is nonsense, and I think most people are smart enough to see through it. So one thing I would say to you is that I ran in both the provincial and now the federal, and it's important for us to hold our politicians at all levels accountable for what we need to do.
Yes, and 2026, there'll be a vote for a new municipal council, and one of my first questions is, let's stop fighting green energy and, you know, help the planet. Anyway, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, okay, Angela. Bye. Appreciate the call. I was talking to you about this before. There's a pretty good chance you're not going to win this election, you know, in the riding that you're in.
Never say never.
Never say never. Of course. You never know what's going to happen on Monday. Things are looking bad for Elizabeth May in her own riding that she's running for. Leader of your party doesn't have a seat yet.
That's right.
You were kicked out of the debates, not you personally. You've been to every debate.
I have. I appreciated the opportunity.
Right. And we'll talk about agriculture in a bit. Are you worried about the future of the Green Party on Monday?
Sure. I mean, it's always been a bit precarious, you know, but there is a basic groundswell. We are the you know, a very young party. Elizabeth May was originally elected in 2011. In Canada since then, there have been 26 different people that have been in a provincial or federal elected seat. Mm-hmm. So it's not nothing. And we, you know, we now have, you know, a riding that is both federal and provincial green. I would point to what did happen in the provincial election in Ontario, where the two seats that were green were reelected by substantial margins. In other words, once people actually have a chance to have a green representative who is trying to balance the needs of average people.
Do you think we love Mike Schreiner, right?
He's a great guy. Yeah. No question.
He's a reasonable human being with good ideas, and he's been able to get the party message out there that the Green Party is much more than a tree huggers. We have full, you know, financial accountability and this and that. And that's why I think people like him. And He connects with people.
That's right.
I'm not sure people on the federal level feel the same way, and maybe you do need a leader like Mike Schreiner at the top.
I think Elizabeth also is very appealing when you listen to her speak. She's very smart, and when you listen to what she says, it makes awful lot of sense. However, you know, even in at this point, she's got to fight for her own riding. So federally, I mean, Ontario is at least a little more compact. Federally, for any party, it's a challenge to be relevant all across the country. And I mean, even, you know, the Conservatives and Liberals have that problem. I think we're evolving. I think it really was too bad about the election, because Jonathan is also a very appealing character, and also being significantly younger than almost any other politician on the scene. I think that would have been a great step forward, and I hope he'll stick around.
Does it make you mad that he was excluded from the debates? Especially the English language debate, considering they allowed the Bloc Quebec leader in, who clearly doesn't have candidates across the country, is in it for only the province of Quebec. I mean, it's kind of like your party, the Green Party, did not meet the standards that were set out, right? But I don't understand how the Bloc did.
And then the claim is that we then pulled back from them. Which we did,
right.
And so then the question is, you know, what was the date so that was relevant? I don't want to get into the details of it.
The minutia of it is really frustrating, and that whole organization needs to revamp itself and figure out how they're going to do debates in the future. I think
we remember that the commission was created because there was such a snafu in 2015 when it was left up to the private sector to organize. And so people said, no, we have to have somebody in charge. Sorry, I'm getting into the minutiae as it is. You know, David Johnson was in charge, and then when he was pushed off to do something else quite valid, the chair of the commission was left vacant. So essentially these decisions were made by bureaucrats, and those bureaucrats were under significant pressure from the other parties to take this move. Now, that's really unfortunate. I'm kind of angry that the Green Party wasn't better prepared, wasn't in a more self-defensive mode. Mm-hmm. You know, we tend to be a little bit idealistic, of course. I think that's not unfair to say. But at the same time, it shows that these more powerful parties actually felt it was worthwhile to swing their weight to keep the Green voice out of the public ear. That says something in itself.
Yeah, well, I mean, politics is nasty, isn't it?
Can be.
Yeah. I mean, and it's not where you are.
Doing the debates that we do, and I've done seven or eight of them now, it's very polite. It's very Canadian. And I think it's unfortunate. I think federal politics used to be much more that way, too. And there's another influence coming from the South that I think is highly detrimental.
It is 10:41. Still time for your call. 613-969-1545, 1-866-969-1546. Mike, of course, will have 90 seconds at the end of the show to tell us why he should be the Member of Parliament for Hastings, Lennox, Addington, and Tyendinaga. When we come back, agriculture is a huge part of Hastings, Lennox, Addington, and Tyendinaga. There was a debate the other day. We'll get the Greens' views and Mike's views on farming and agriculture and how that should happen in this country. We'll take a break.
Make your house shine from top to bottom without lifting a finger. Call Quinty Power Wash. They expertly wash homes and commercial properties with high-pressure cleaning for surfaces like concrete and stone, and low-pressure cleaning for things like vinyl, stucco, and wood. Quinty Power Wash even washes your trailer, boat dock, pool deck, fences, outdoor furniture, and more. Ask about their complete house washing package. For a free quote, visit quintypowerwash.com or call 613-919-4410.
The following is a paid political message.
I'm Kate Crothers, your Bay of Quinte NDP candidate.
As we approach the most important election of our lifetime, we have to take stock of what matters to us. Universal health care, living wage, and housing as a human right are deeply Canadian values, and also what's at the heart of our Bay of Quinte community. I am the candidate who's going to fight for you.
This ad was paid for by the official agent of Kate Crothers, NDP candidate for the Bay of Quinte.
It's time for the Corvette cash clear out at Peter Boyer Chevrolet Buick GMC in Napanee. For a limited time, save a massive $6,000 off all new Corvettes. Choose from in-stock Corvettes, each ready to hit the road with power and style. Plus, every vet purchase comes with a free ceramic coating to keep your Corvette shining bright. Boyer Chevrolet Buick GMC Napanee, corner of Highway 401 and 41 and BoyerGM.com. Won't be beat on Corvettes.
Nah, dang name it, Harold. The sun's frying my eyeballs.
Quit your yapping, Earl. My coffee's hotter than a skillet because of this blasted window. We need blinds pronto.
Blinds? Where are we going to get them? I ain't leaving this chair.
McAdam Windows and Doors, you old coot. They got fancy blinds, blocks the sun, keeps the nosy neighbors out.
McAdams, huh? They better not charge an arm and a leg. I'm already missing a toe.
They're affordable, Earl. Call them up. Get some blinds before we both turn into raisins.
Request a free quote for McAdam Windows and Doors. Quality blinds, happy homes. Online at McAdamWindows.com.
Stay connected anytime and any place on earth. CJBQ is live online, powered by Greenbacks Pawn Shop.
Turn your gold and silver into top cash at Greenbacks. It's quick, easy, and local. They specialize in jewelry, coins, bullion, and more, using up-to-date equipment and market know-how. Greenbacks can give you the best payout for your gold and silver, and they pay extra for diamonds. Selling or pawning? Go to the pros at Greenbacks, your number one pawn shop in Belleville and Trenton.
Listen live with Greenbacks. Visit CJBQ.com.
There's just one place to go for new and good used appliances. Smitty's Appliances has the best price and selection. After the sale, Smitty says it's service that's important. Smitty has been servicing the Quinte area for 50 years. That speaks for itself. There's a big inventory of new and used appliances available for same-day delivery at Smitty's Appliances, River Road, Corbyville.
Have you downloaded the app yet? It's as easy as 1, 2, 3. Sports, talk, and music. With you everywhere. 800-CJBQ.
The issues that matter to you are on our agenda today. You're listening to The Lauren Brooker Show on 800-CJBQ.
10:45 is the time. 800-CJBQ is the radio station. We'll talk about the incredible ability for you to win a Corvette tomorrow on the show. And who walked away with a wonderful trailer? It's the BGH Foundation. Wonderful lotteries. Also, the Lauren Brooker Show Friday Freeform. We'll update you tomorrow on what's happening in the Vatican at St. Peter's Basilica. And much, much more as the Lauren Brooker Show continues on our Friday morning. But right now, we're talking about federal politics. The election is on Monday. Yes, Monday. And you can get full election coverage right here on 800-CJBQ beginning at 9 o'clock, brought to you by the Chamber of Commerce here in Belleville and Boston Pizza Belleville as well. Mike Holbrook is the candidate for the Greens. And one of the interesting things about Hastings, Lennox, Addington, and Tyendinega is its size. It's a massive, massive riding, most of it rural, a lot of it farming. So there was a debate about agriculture this week.
That's right.
Farmers have a different view of the world than somebody who lives in just a neighborhood or down a crescent or anybody else for that matter, because they are farmers. So tell us about how that went and your thoughts on how agriculture should go here in this country.
Well, first of all, on Tuesday, I said we had the debate that focused on the environment, which was great. And then following that was the debate that focused on agriculture. And it was quite interesting to have a focus like that. Because usually we're spread all over and you don't have much time to talk about, you know, any one thing. The interesting thing about the agriculture community is that it itself is very diverse. So you've got everything from people doing homesteading and producing a little bit of agricultural income to support themselves there, to people running multi-million dollar operations. And I think that the farming community is very well organized. They definitely are a community unto themselves. They think a lot about and talk a lot about political issues. The way the economy goes affects them very quickly. And so they're very sort of hyper aware of government policy. And so we talked about a lot of different things in terms of financing and risk management, you know, supported somewhat by the government for farming and how important that is. And of course, again, the North-South issue is coming up because, you know, we've allowed ourselves again to become dependent on these trade routes and given up on a certain amount of self-sufficiency.
One of the things that Trump bitches about is dairy and Canadian dairy. And, of course, the tariffs have never been implemented because, you know, they've never gotten to the levels where we would tariff the product. Canada and Ontario, and Canada has supply, you know, we monitor and
supply management.
Yeah, manage the supply. Thank you. Is that a good thing?
So, just to clarify Trump's complaint about the 250% tariff nonsense. So, under the supply management system and the free trade agreement, the Americans are allowed to bring some product into Canada, but there's a limit. And after they reach that limit, then those really quite high tariffs kick in.
That's what I'm saying.
They've never actually gotten to that point.
It's a completely moot point.
It's a ridiculous argument. We have been under the gun from the Americans mostly, but from World Trade Organization in general for our supply management program for decades, right? Everybody, it's always down, well, you know, Canada's pretty good, but they do have that supply management thing. You know, that's not so cool. Don't we look good now? When the, you know, birds are dying off in massive amounts in the United States from the you know, the giant operations they have there.
Mm-hmm.
Eggs are all of a sudden
$1,000
a golden, you know, the golden egg opportunity. So our system right now looks very good. And it was not completely closed. There is room for trade. But what we've been able to maintain with supply management is we've been able to maintain our self-sufficiency and maintain a stability of income for those segments in agriculture, which is only fair given the vital job that farmers do.
Okay. I want to talk to you a little bit about some issues that we're all talking about and, of course, that affects us here locally. I've asked every candidate the same question, and it deals, of course, with housing and, mental health care, drug addiction, homelessness. To me, this is a every level of government answer or solution. It can't just be passed down to the province or, hey, it's a provincial issue, or, hey, it's a municipal issue. It's a everybody issue. How would the Greens deal with these major issues that are affecting our communities?
So you're right that everybody is involved and all levels of government are involved. The federal government is primarily the passer down of
they're
funds.
The bank, yes.
And the provincial government has the most responsibility. I think the municipal responsibility comes down to a difficult job, which was alluded to by the previous caller, that there's the problem of how to solve affordable housing and whose neighborhood is it going to go in and who is going to complain and the municipal government has to step up and do the right thing essentially. I think the Green position on this is that it's the lower end of the market that really is a problem, and the reason is because it's not very profitable, and because we've turned the housing business entirely over to the private sector over the last few decades, the less profitable stuff just doesn't get done. And so the stock is way out of whack. And really, the only way to deal with this is one way or the other for government to get back involved with truly affordable housing. And I think we have to start with increasing the rental stock. And that's where we need to go. We need to support co-op solutions. We need to support nonprofit solutions. And the government needs to be fairly directly involved in actually building and funding.
What is affordable housing?
I mean, to me, affordable housing at the rental end is something that someone with a full-time job, not two full-time jobs, can afford to live in, and there has to be a route to home ownership. So the cheapest, lowest, you know, starter home level for purchase homes, again, it has to be. You can't take 25 years to build up a down payment. That's mm-hmm. crazy. You know.
So how does a government though get involved in the market? Because you know the housing market
We used to be. So you know and let's look at Toronto because it's easy to see the stats. But you know the social housing and you know truly affordable housing in Toronto, that stock was all built before 1995. We haven't built any in 30 years.
Right, but what I'm saying is, you know, you're talking about affordable starter homes and things like that. Those are for purchase, so that's the housing market. So there's one thing, I guess, if the government gets involved in building housing and operating that housing, and there's another thing if the government starts to tell people what they should charge for small homes.
No, I think, you know, we've left it to the market for decades. And the starter homes are unaffordable. So that just, you know, a purely market-driven situation doesn't work. One of the reasons is because of the way we treat housing tax-wise. We've pushed people over the last 50 years to use it as their major savings vehicle, which I think is positive in itself, but it's left us with this imbalance. So government can get involved, and as I said, I think rental housing, purpose-built rental housing, is a really important place to start.
All right. Well, Mike, we're coming to the end. So now you have 1 minute and 30 seconds to tell us why Mike Holbrook should be the Member of Parliament for Bay of Quinte.
What I want to talk about is the idea of strategic voting. So this has been, you know, part of life, part of political life for a long time, and I think we should do a little bit of math about what's happened in the last few months. Going into Christmas time or so, the Conservatives had a 20-point lead, and now they're, you know, depending on the day, they're more or less 5% behind. So what does that mean? It means that there was a large group of Canadians who were prepared to vote basically to get rid of somebody rather than necessarily to support a set of ideas. Once the ground changed a little bit and they had a little more choice, it appears that many of the people who are going to vote Conservatives are not necessarily enthralled with their program, and now they've swung. So that opens it up for people to vote what they really believe. And I would ask that people really think and look carefully at what the Green Party is offering and the long-term view that we're offering. And remember that every vote that you cast gets noticed. Whether I win or not, it will get noticed. It sends a message, and that's what I ask people to do, is send that message that the fairness in society and the health of our environment and our future matter to you.
All right. Mike, thank you so much. If somebody is interested in finding out more about you or your campaign, how do they do so?
So the Green Party website is greenparty.ca, and my email is michael.holbrook@greenparty.ca, and I would love to hear from people.
And we should let everybody know that Election Day, if you don't know, is Monday. It is Monday. Polls are open from 9:30 till 9:30, and we will have full election coverage for you right here on 800-CJBQ. I am your anchor. What kind of anchor, Ted? Would like old ship anchor or one of the new fancy anchors that, you know, really hold a boat in place? I don't know. Or maybe one of, you know, in the old school days where they just take a yellow rope and hook a cinder block to it. Maybe I'm one of those. Anyway, it'll be myself, Ross McDougall, and Mitch Hempel in studio. And, of course, we'll have post-election coverage for you next Tuesday. Whatever you do, get out and vote. We have some amazing candidates just like Mike. Thank you, Mike.